So I want to bring you greetings from the great smoke-free state of North Carolina. It was quite an adventure driving home to Pennsylvania on Thursday evening as we arrived in Clarksburg, West Virginia at about 12:30 in the morning. I thought fog was setting in, and then we got out of the car and we smelled Grandma Sedgwick burning garbage is what we smelled. But it is good to be here. I bring greetings to from North Carolina. I want to honor your pastor and his wife and the job they're doing here. And we are just excited to hear the good things that are coming from Chapel. We watch and we see and we hear about your children's ministry, your youth, and your services and what God's doing here. And I'm excited about that. But I'm here with you for just a few minutes today. Now, Dan, did you pack a lunch? I ain't preached since the first Sunday in January, okay? But my grandfather always told me if you can't say it in 15 minutes or less, it's usually not worth saying. So, and he ministered for 37 years and was well known in this area. But I'm grateful to be here with you this weekend. We come in, and I don't know where my niece is at. She told me she was going to be here today. The newlyweds, don't know where they might be. So, but we were able to get Miss Cassidy and Joseph married yesterday in a wonderful ceremony that was represented by 231 years of marriage right behind the two of them and their parents and their grandparents. And we're just grateful for that. And thankful for our heritage and what God does for us. But I have just a few quick moments here with you today. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, I'm going to be in John, the 6th chapter. And I shared a portion of this just about 2 weeks ago. We are coming out. I've transitioned from being a full-time pastor to being a full-time caretaker of our camping ministries in the state of North Carolina. And we just spent the last 5 weeks ministering to kids, and every once in a while they give me an opportunity still to speak. And for our senior high camp, they give me the evening before all the kids got there to speak to the staff. And this resonated in my spirit this morning, and simply I have a title. If you've been online, you've seen The God Who Provides. The God Who Provides. I don't know if you know that God today or not, but I know him as a provider. I know him as my way maker and my peace speaker. I know him as my comforter and my peace and my strength. I know him as the one that picks me up when I get down. I know him as the one that's with me whenever I think that I'm by myself. Have you ever just wrung your hands in fear and thought, I don't know what I'm going to do next? Have you ever said those words to yourself? You're going to have to loosen up a little, okay? The quicker you pray and the harder you pray and the more you smile at me and agree with me, this will go a whole lot faster, okay? Amen. That was too much. Dan, you should have seen the smile that come on your wife's face whenever I said smile and we'll go faster. I've got friends here and it's good to be at home. I was a little bit nervous when I said, Jeremy, who is that over there? I said, was that my high school math teacher, Mr. Smith. I'm like, bless the Lord. Let me, if I ever did anything, Mr. Smith, when I was in school, you probably never thought that boy will never turn out to be a preacher. I don't know. I do use math, Mr. Smith, okay? More than you'll know right now. I had to calculate how to figure out how big my swimming pool was. And somebody gave me the wrong numbers, but once I got the calculations right, the pool's clear now. So it's all because of math and God and a whole lot of prayers and ChatGPT. How many chemicals do I need in my 91,000-gallon pool? And it tells me. Do you know God as a provider this morning? I know him as a provider, and I've known him as that throughout my life. But there have been times in life where we go through seasons, and we begin to question, and we begin to wonder, and we say, why now, God, why us? And we go through those seasons, but what we need to understand and we need to grab hold of is the fact that God is always there, and Chuck, He never leaves us. He said that He'd never leave us, nor would He forsake us, but He'd go the extra mile with us. And I want to begin reading, and we all know this passage in John the 6th chapter, and I hope that I don't lose everything that's in my Bible when I pick it up here. The writer here says, "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountains, and there sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said these words, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and they numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples unto them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would eat. They weren't restrained, they weren't held back, they could have as much as they would want. And they were filled. And He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Father, I thank You and I praise You right now this morning, because God, I know that You're here. We felt You in our worship, but God, now we need You in our word, Father, to speak, God, and to minister to us here this morning. And Father, we'll not fail to give to You glory and honor and praises for all things that You do for us in this place and in this house, God, and in our lives today, God. May we honor You with everything we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many, I've asked you this, know God as a provider? Have any of you ever said this? What are we going to do next? About 2 years ago, I was at a crossroads in my life. And I don't know, I believe you probably prayed for me at one point in that season. I had just been with Scott, yes, with Scott and the team from the church here in Western North Carolina, down just outside of Boone is where we were at. And while we were there, we got to sleep in deluxe accommodations in the chapel of the church that we were staying at. On a floor down there is where I laid. And it wasn't but two or three weeks after that event that my life began to transition and it began to change. And I didn't know what was going to happen and what was going to take place. My doctors told me that I had a crushed disc in my back. And in my mind, I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do now? Because all I've ever known is work. And all I ever knew to do was to follow You and go after You and pursue You hard, God. And now here I am at a point in my life where my doctor, I thank God for my doctor, because he took me in and took care of me and come in the night before he took me in for the surgery, he grabbed my hand and he began to pray over me. And he began to bless me. But in that season of life, I began to question God. And I began to wonder, God, why me? Why now? God, I've known You as provider. I've known You as healer. I know You as the one that speaks peace over my life. But God, why am I going through this storm right now? Why am I going through what it is that I'm going through in this time and in this season of life? And God said, because I've got You in this. You see, I've met the God that provides, and I met the God that supplies for every one of my needs. And in that season of life, I began to trust in God more than I've ever trusted in Him. And I began to understand some things about Him, that He said He'd never leave me, nor would He forsake me. But I've understood in Him that, you know what, Jason? You can't do it by yourself. Look at your neighbor and tell him you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. I'm coming back in 3 weeks to marry them. You've got to have God at the center of everything that you do. But here's what as I was reading this passage, and I've read this passage many times over, but I want to go back to the fourth verse there. It says, "And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company that was coming unto him. And he said unto Philip, when shall we buy these that they may eat?" He was saying, how are we going to buy? He said, where are we going to go and where are we going to get for them what they need to eat? But I like the next passage that it says, what? "And he said this to prove him, for Jesus already knew." He already knew. Charlie, he knew the circumstances of our life before we even got to it. You were down there as well. I can't forget all that. I was meaning the beard. There was something else there that was said, I think, when I was there about how good looking you were or something. Yes, that's what it was. But we've got to trust and know that he's the God that provides, because he already knew before we come to any point in our life what he was going to do before we got to it. Guys, in 3 weeks from now, God's already been there and he already knows what's going to happen in 3 weeks when you come before the altar and you surrender to one another and you surrender to him ultimately and ask him to be a part and bless what's going to happen in a few weeks. But I'm beginning to understand that God is so much more than that. God is my health. God is my peace. God is my joy. God is the one that when I'm in the midst of things that are hard to understand and hard to go through, Chuck, when he told me I had to be down for 6 weeks, I began to question, what am I going to do? My church isn't going to want me. The people that I've ministered to aren't going to accept me now. But can I tell you something? In those 6 weeks, Pastor, I found a season to where I was refreshed, to where I found a new vigor. I found something that was going to push me on. And I began to understand, am I supposed to stand right here? I'm sorry. I get a little excited every once in a while. I've just got to move just a little. I promise I won't come. Well, I ain't going to promise nothing. I'm not going to come back there. We go through trials. We go through hardships. We go through tests. We go through sickness. We go through family problems. Has God ever failed you? No, he hasn't. He's never failed me. I trust in God, my Savior, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, every step of my walk, every piece of my journey, everywhere that I go, God's ordering my steps. I've got notes everywhere. I got a little bit of my grandpa in me. Grandpa had little paper notes. I've got all his messages. I want you to think back to the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into a fire, but I believe that God already knew what they were entering into, because they would not bow down, because they would not surrender to the things of the king, but they followed after God and said, I'm going to follow him the whole way. And when they get into the midst of the fire, what was it that they said? We looked into the fire. Did we not throw three into the fire? Why is it that we see four walking about in the midst of the fire? So whatever situation you're going through in life, whatever you're faced with right now, whatever's going on. You see, when Jesus spoke to Philip, he didn't ask him, where are we going to get money to pay for this? He just asked him, where are we going to get it? Because he already knew. There was a young boy there with the fish and with the bread. You got any chicken left? You got five and two? Now, if I was to bring five fish to you here today and a couple loaves of bread and tell you to split it, what would you look at me and say? Jeremy said it first. No, really, Jeremy didn't say it first. His wife did. She's my only sister-in-law here, isn't she? Yes. My favorite sister-in-law said, she said, you're crazy. Can you imagine? They said, well, there's this boy here that's got this. this with him. Jesus said, bring it over. So out of that, I take this. Your problems, your issues, what you're going through in life, what's happening around you. He's saying, bring it over. Bring it over to me. Then in that moment, and I'm still praying, Dan, for my back. I'm still trusting because there's still things going on. But I know a God that says, bring it over. I know a God that says, if you'll just surrender it to me, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to heal it. I'm going to take care of what it is that's going on in your back. We think of Daniel in the lion's den. Before he got there, God was already there. I think of David hiding for his life. He was anointed to be king, but God protected him until his time was. I think of Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. He knew exactly what he was doing as he was taking them from a place of bondage to a place of freedom. You see, something that God shows me is there's a lot of times where we resist God and we stay in a place of bondage because we've not experienced what true freedom is. I'm 53 years old. Mr. Smith, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to... I may not have always walked the walk that I'm walking today, but I thank God that my life changed at a point to where I began to understand and I began to trust Him and I began to lean into Him. I begin to know that He's the one that provides for me. He is my way maker. He is my peace speaker. He is the one that covers all the issues and all the problems that I have going on in my life. I found a saying, and anybody scroll through Facebook? Yes, bless the Lord. And I found this saying. It says, olives must be crushed to release oil. Grapes must be pressed to produce wine. Diamonds form under intense pressure. The anointing of God. Are you hearing me for just a minute? The anointing of God doesn't flow from perfection. The anointing of God flows under pressure. And how you respond to what the enemy's trying to press in on you. Pastor, I don't know what you go through in ministry. I have an idea. I spent 20 years straight in ministry. And I felt the pressure of life come in. I felt the things of life come around us. Lord, 13 years, it'll be August 28, 13 years ago, Amy and I and our four children picked up everything we owned, everything we knew, and we followed God the whole way to North Carolina. And the one that broke my heart whenever we left was this one right here. Because she told her dad, she said, Dad, who's going to kiss me on the forehead now? I still do that. You're getting a little bigger, though. Stop that. But we picked up our family and we went to a country where we knew no one. Pastor, I had no clue who we were running into when we got there. I pulled into the parking lot that first day and we met a gentleman there. His name was Dennis Cook. And he jumped out of his car and he started talking and I thought he was speaking in tongues. And I began to pray, God, you're either going to have to help me listen faster or make him talk slower. One of the two things. And our lives have transitioned to a point to where we're favored and where we're blessed. To where we followed God into something that, listen, I grew up in Parker, Pennsylvania. I spent pretty much the first 38 years of my life in Parker, Pennsylvania. We went to Egypt for 2 years down in Shalakta, down in Indiana, where my wife was in college still and lived there for 2 years. We moved back to Parker, lived in the house where Jeremy's house is now. He and I both lived in the Pink Palace. You should have seen it. It was a thing of beauty. Jeremy tore it down to build his house. And we moved just a few short miles from there over on the Route 38 in Eau Claire and lived there for about 15 years till God called us. And when God called us, He prepared us and He equipped us. It wasn't easy, but God was with us. We had to learn real quick what, I'm not a computer person. I learned what FaceTime was so my kids could see their grandmas and their grandparents could, well, Annie and Piggy and Annie and Buggy. I don't know how. That's what their names are. my oldest called Pig and Bug. You know, go figure. it's fun when you go to a buffet and one of the kids say, "Hey, Pig!" And and 10 people turn around. No. but the anointing doesn't flow from perfection. It flows from pressure. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, Jordan, I'll need you in just a minute if you want to come. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him, on him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said these words. And I want you to go back with me for just a minute to that first passage. Jesus went to Philip and he said, "Where are we going to buy?" He didn't ask them for money. He didn't ask them for that. He was just checking to see what their response was going to be. And here this morning, I wonder what your response is going to be. I don't know what you're going through and what you're faced with and what your challenges may be, but I know a God. I don't know exactly what point in life you're at. You may be just beginning in the workforce. You may be at the end and you're retired and you're living your best life now, like Dad and Mom and my in-laws. They're retired. Well, kinda. We had to stop and see my mother-in-law at work on the way in. maybe you're a student here and you're going through things in life that you never thought you'd go through. Maybe you're living in a broken home. Maybe you don't have the same testimony that we have. Jeremy Jordan and I have a proud testimony. We have parents that taught us to serve God with everything that we have, from our family to our finances. We surrender it to God. We give everything to Him. Maybe that's not your testimony this morning. Maybe you're dealing with anxiety in your life. Maybe you don't know where God has for you next. Maybe there's things that you're faced with. Peter told him, he said, "Look on us. Look on me." He said, "Silver and gold have I none." Money's not going to buy you happiness. Can I say that again? Indebtedness is not going to buy you happiness. You understand what I'm saying there? You can try and buy what you want to make you happy, but it's not going to make you happy if you don't have God. If you don't have Him at the front of your life. I figured it out. It took me until after high school. I wasted years of my life. Chuck, I wasted years chasing after things that I thought I wanted until I found what I truly needed. There's a song that Jordan's playing right now that Maverick City sings. It says, "You're not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to my story. Oh, there's more to my story. He's not done with me yet. God, you're not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. Oh God, there's more to our stories that you've not even begun to unfold. You may be here this morning and you may need a touch from God. You may need to hear that He's not done with you yet. He's not finished doing what He's doing. He's not done until we hear those words. And I pray you hear these words when your life comes to an end. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou one that has surrendered of your will for my way. The one that's given over everything that you have so that you can follow me. I've got another friend back there, Mr. Randy. I spent 4 of the worst years of my life with him. Working just over the hill from here. I thought I wanted something, but it wasn't what I needed, Randy. And it's about reaching heaven. Heaven, our home. That Jesus gave to Philip to see. Do you really trust? And to cover trust in me. Morning, he's saying those same words. Are you trusting me? Are you willing to surrender it all over? Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give it to you. What I've got. Jeremy and I joke with Mom and Dad. They signed the house over to us. We told them we're going to start charging them rent. I'm going to let them stay a little longer. She got a tax bill with my name on it. And they paid it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I won't go to jail. I'm going to run back to North Carolina as soon as we get done after we go to lunch. But I don't want to rush out of here and miss something today. I don't want to rush out and miss what God has for us. You see, the number that they give there was 5,000 men. But when you begin to think, now who goes anywhere without their significant other? Huh? Yeah. And what do they say we have in the United States? Normal average family is 3.5 people. How do they come up with a half a person? I don't know. But everybody goes somewhere together. So when you begin to think of the numbers, you begin to think of how many were fed off of just a couple loaves and a couple fish. God tells me this. He said, Dan, He's not too big a God to take care of your needs and Jason's and Cindy's and Scott's. I got to pick names I know. Mr. Smith. Pastor. Come walk with me for a minute. I don't know, Pastor, do I? We just met yesterday. I heard him walk into the wedding yesterday, and his words were this: they're all wearing suits. I heard that, Pastor. But I know this, the same God that carried me 2 years ago through what I went through is the same God that carries your pastor. It's the same God that this man serves. It's the same anointing that he rests under. It's the same one that he just begins to bless and move and minister in his life. And this morning, I don't know why I'm doing this. I want to pray blessings over this pastor. I want to pray anointing and favor over his life. Where's your wife at? She's teaching kids, isn't she? Serving, isn't she? Yes. Yeah, Tara, go get her. We need her for just a minute. I don't know why. But I want to pray blessings and favor over your life and your ministry. God's not done here yet in Chapel. God's not done doing what he's going to do in the Emlenton, Grove City, Franklin, Oil City, Butler. I see your reach is going further than just Emlenton. I see God beginning to draw and beginning to pull people to Chapel on the Hill. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. I believe that God has blessings beyond what we can understand, beyond what we can fathom, beyond what we can think. When we go through the trials and the tribulations of life, I believe that God has blessings that he's going to pour out upon us. As the songwriter said, he's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. If you'll just take a minute and surrender everything that you have, clear your mind for just a minute. Some of you, that's pretty easy. Clear your mind, and I want you to focus on one thing. Focus on him. Here for just a minute. He's not done with you yet. He's not finished doing what he's going to do in your life yet. He's got greater things in store for each and every one of you if you'll just surrender all that you have over to him. If you'll give everything you've got and allow for him to be the one that speaks blessing, that speaks favor, that speaks anointing into your life. Aim, can you come up here with me? I want to pray a blessing over your pastoral team here today. Do you love your pastor? Not even bigger question. Do you love his wife? That was a bigger cheer, Pastor. That's okay. I get the same. I'm thankful for pastors that serve under the anointing and the calling of God. And I'm grateful when they walk through hard times and through tribulations and trials. We've been there. We've walked through them. I don't know why God has me doing this. But I know that he's faithful. I know that he's a God that loves us. And I know that as we pick up our feet and we walk along, Pastor, sometimes life gets heavy. Ministry gets hard. Sometimes we begin to question, God, am I doing the right thing? But I'm here to tell you today, press into him with all that you have and let him lead you, guide you, let him direct you. I asked Pastor how many years they've been in ministry full time, and Sis told me 28 years full time. That's a long time. Can I tell you? That's a long time. I told them they need to go on a vacation. Some of you may say they've already done that. Well, send them again. Okay? I did it for 20 years. I know what I'm talking about. Trust me. Until 2.5 years ago, I never took 2 Sundays off in a row until the doctor told me you can't preach for 6 weeks. And I never realized how much I needed that break until then. You all look at the pastor and say, he only works 1 day a week. How long do you preach on Sundays? 30 minutes, 40? He only works 45 minutes a week, and you pay him all that you pay him. I tell you what, that must be nice to have a job like that. Can I tell you, the weight that he carries doesn't end when he walks away from that. He's not done yet. You see, the test that Philip was given He said, I want you to take what you got and we're going to bless it and we're going to multiply it. Pastor Tim and Karen. Yes. I've had that for Pastor Tim and Karen. I want to pray blessings over your life and over your ministry. I want God to multiply. I want Him to do the Jabez prayer. I want Him to expand your territories, your reach from beyond this place to where He has. And maybe you're here this morning and you need prayer. After we pray for Pastor and Sister Karen, I'm gonna switch you sides, Amy. That's my help. She's the one that keeps me straight. You say, but she's so small. Let me tell you, she's an assistant principal. And she raised our four kids. Whew, bless the Lord. Yes, and we're proud of our family. But we want to pray over your pastor. I don't know how it works around here. If you have a leadership team, I'm picking on my brother. If you feel called and you want to come and you want to join me today, I want to agree together in prayer that God, you'll bless, that you'll anoint, you'll do. Jordan, change for me for a minute. He touched me. Years ago, He touched us. If you're here, somebody impacted your life. And I want to pray a prayer over your pastor this morning and Sister Karen, that God would bless and cover them.